A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. England, the Magna Carta, and Innocent III. Innocent could not preoccupy himself with the Albigensian Crusade, for he had other countries to conquer and other people to subject. He left the Christians in southern France to their terrible fate and spent much of his time concentrating on England. While the Albigensian Crusade raged, Innocent raged against King John. The initial conflict had nothing to do with John's oppression or blasphemies, but was a result of the choice of a bishop. King John himself is easily the most despised of all English rulers, even above Bloody Mary. He was a cruel tyrant who even raped the wives of his own dukes and barons. He taxed people severely, stole from the church, tried to usurp his brother Richard's throne years before, and is believed to have murdered his other brother Geoffrey. He inflicted terrible punishment on the people, including encasing one man in lead up to his neck. The people hated him with a vengeance, and his own barons and knights despised him as much. These things, however, didn't bother Innocent. Instead, a dispute arose concerning who would be the next bishop of Canterbury. King John wanted John de Grey, while the monks of Canterbury elected Reginald. Innocent dissolved both and had the monks elect another in attempt to compromise. The great Stephen Langton was chosen, but John would accept none other than his own man. The choice of Langton and the ensuing dispute between Innocent and John would become one of the great ironies of history. For Innocent would fight long and hard on Langdon's behalf, but years later, when Langdon stood up for the rights of the people of England, Innocent turned on him and supported John. For now, John raged against Innocent. He confiscated the property of the Canterbury monks and expelled them. Innocent threatened interdict. John promised to mutilate every Italian in England and expel the clergy if he did so. On March the 22nd, 1208, the interdict took place, and many of the clergy fled for fear of their lives. For 6 long years, the dead were buried without consecration. Churches were locked, and as the Catholic historian Peter de Rosa put it, it was as if England became a pagan land again. John, however, wreaked his revenge. He confiscated the property of the clergy, drove them out, and kidnapped their concubines, for wives were no longer permitted for clergymen. On one occasion, he freed a man who had murdered a priest, saying, "He's killed my enemy." In 1212, it became apparent that the apostate John was unconcerned with interdiction or excommunication. So Innocent declared John deposed and absolved the subjects of English crown for their oaths of obedience. Philip Augustus of France immediately prepared a massive fleet for invasion. John soon realized he would lose all of England to Philip, even as he had already lost the French territory to him, if he didn't make restitution with Innocent. On May the 15th, 1213, he agreed to deed the whole of England and Ireland to Innocent. He would receive it back as a fief in exchange for 1,000 marks every year in complete submission to the Pope. Although England was already technically a fief of the Emperor Otto IV, Innocent was by this time at war with Otto, and the legal merits were of no interest to Innocent. He was interested in only receiving England and its money. I would point out here that one of the things about Innocent, remember, he believed that he was not just God's representative on earth, but everything on earth was subject to him. He was trying to get the situation set up so that whenever a king died, the land would become his, and then he would give it back, as he did to John, as a fief. So in other words, Innocent III, the Pope, would have control over all the countries of Europe and everywhere else, and then he would collect money from them and, of course, decide who should be the correct king. So he's quite off the wall when it comes to dealing with land. In 1214, the interdict was formally revoked. Philip Augustus of France was furious. His invasion plans had ceased, for he could not invade papal territory. People of England were equally furious, for he had betrayed them for petty gain. Even Stephen Langton, who by now took his proper place in Canterbury, took the side of the people in an attempt to oust John. Civil war erupted, and within a year, John found himself in dire jeopardy of losing his kingdom again. His enemies, made up of his former lords and Langton's supporters, suggested a compromise. At Runnymede on June the 15th, 1215, John agreed to sign the most outstanding document in medieval history, the Magna Carta. This document was the forerunner of the U.S. Constitution. Indeed, our forefathers declared their independence that they were claiming the right of the Magna Carta. Technically, of course, the Magna Carta was but a shadow of the United States Constitution, but it did check the power of the king. The charter declared that the king could not confiscate property without trial, taxes could not be levied without a vote of a council, all free men must be given a trial before their peers, hearings would be held within a reasonable time period, and unreasonable punishment would not be levied for petty crimes, and the laws could not be kept secret. A total of 62 different clauses are listed, each prescribing protection from a particular abuse of the king, though the charter did not apply to serfs. It was the first document of its kind to guarantee rights of all freemen against tyranny of the nobility, and specifically against the king. No sooner had John signed the document and restored his fortunes than he appealed to his old enemy, the Pope, declaring that he had been forced to sign the document and asked that it be dissolved. Innocent immediately took the side of John against Stephen Langton and the people of England. He declared that Satan had inspired the document and its authors, condemning them all. He declared the Magna Carta null and void for all time, and excommunicated all who continued to accept the document's validity. When Stephen Langton refused to bow to the Pope's will, declaring that natural law, God's law, is beyond the reach of the Pope himself, he was suspended from his post, and London was placed under interdiction again. The result was yet another civil war. Barons and nobility even summoned the French Dauphin Louis to come and claim the crown, but Innocent had placed him under a papal ban and refused to let him do so. King John died in 1216, the same year as Innocent, but the issue would not die with them. It continued for centuries. One thing that Innocent's actions had done, however, was to alienate both the people of England and much of the clergy. England would never forget the Magna Carta, nor would they forget the papal sanctions. Wycliffe, John Wycliffe, would sow the first seeds of a Reformation a century later, and the seeds from Cromwell's Republic and the U.S. Constitution had already been planted back in 1215. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.